and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim, and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. At the suggestion of Pete, one of the contributors to the Bixography Forum, the centerpiece of today's program will be Andy Sechrist. And for the modern musicians, I'm going to turn to an Argentinian group called the Antigua Jazz Band. Let's start with Andy Sechrist. I'm going to read the biographical information available in John Chilton's Who's Who in Jazz. It says, born in Muncie, Indiana, in 1907, died in California in 1977. Worked with the Freddie Sankar's orchestra in Cincinnati, then with Ted Weems and Ray Miller Orchestra, before joining Gene Golcat. Left after residency at Pia Moore Ballroom, Kansas City, November 1927 to April 1928. With Paul Wildman from November 1928 until 1932. Then moved to California to work in Hollywood as a studio musician. Was featured in many studio orchestras, including Victor Young's, John Scudder Trotter's, and Billy Mills. Occasionally did outside work, including a spell with Ben Pollack in the spring of 1938. In the early 1950s, played in several West Coast jazz festivals, left full-time music to work in real estate. Now, I want to read from Sodholder and Evans' Bix Man and Legend the circumstances under which Andy Sechrist moved from the Gene Golcat Orchestra to the Paul Wildman Orchestra. Not yet 22, Sechrist had fallen hard under Bix's spell. On at least one record made by this particular Goldcat ensemble, an otherwise wholly forgettable version of Here Comes the Showboat, Sechrist and his two section mates, Sterling Bowes and Nat Natoli, can be heard swapping two-bar phrases. The influence of Beiderbecke on all three men is striking. Sechrist, moreover, was a quick and sure reader, making him, for Wildman's purposes, the ideal stand-in, capable of holding his own on the arrangements, yet able to simulate the sound and style of Bix in solo spots. Wildman arranged with an ever-helpful Golcat to borrow the young Indianan from his orchestra's four-day stint at the General Motors Research Building in Detroit. The new man's performance over these 4 days was enough for the King of Jazz. He knew a good piece of insurance when he saw it, and without consulting Sechrist, purchased the cornetist's contract from Golcat at the end of the Detroit engagement. When the orchestra returned to New York, Andy Sechrist returned with them. All right, well, since Here Comes the Showboat is mentioned here, That will be the first recording that I will play. This was recorded in Kansas City on December 14, 1927. Myron Schulz, violin and the leader, direct. Ned Natoli, Andy Sechrist, and Sterling Bowes on trumpet. Loring Schulz and Red Ginsler on trombone. Larry Tice, Bob Hotsell, Reggie Byleth, and Ray Porter on reeds. Harold Stokes on piano or accordion. Harry Basson on piano. Joe Galbraith on banjo. Harold George on brass bass. Mel Miller on drums. And the vocal here is by a trio of Myron Schulz, Ray Porter, and Harold Stokes. I will follow that with a recording of My Ohio Home from 2 days earlier, December 12, 1927. The composition of the band is basically the same, but there is one main difference. Honky Carmichael is present here and takes the piano. And he also takes the vocal. So let's listen to Andy Sechrist with the Jim Goldcat Orchestra in 1927. This is after Bix had left the Jim Goldcat Orchestra in the fall of 1927 to join first the New Yorkers with Adrian Rollini and then eventually the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. That was an interesting vocal by Hoagy, wasn't it? It's My Ohio Home, by the way, is of course the song where we have the only opportunity to see Bix playing on film. It was the change in contract for the Paul Whiteman Orchestra from Victor to Columbia, and there was a Fox movie tone newsreel of that. And My Ohio Home is the song that's played in that newsreel. Okay, now I'd like to turn to the Mason-Dixon Orchestra. This is a recording from May 15th, 1929, and the orchestra consists of Andy Sigrist on cornet, Charlie Margulis on trumpet, Bill Rank on trombone, Frank Thombauer on C melody, Irving Friedman on clarinet or tenor sax, Charles Strickfaden on alto sax or baritone sax, Lenny Hayton on piano and the arrangement, Eddie Lang on guitar, and Min Liebruck on bass saxophone. I will follow that with another recording by the Mason-Dixon Orchestra from the same date, May 15, 1929. This is Alabama Snow, and in the notes for the magnificent mosaic set on Trombauer, Bix, and Teagarden, Dick Sodholder writes, after repeated listenings, guitarist and scholar Mike Peters brought to our attention that a different guitar and guitarist, possibly Snoozer Queen, is heard on Alabama Snow. Well, you tell me what you think, if it is Eddie Lang or not. So let's listen then to Andy Sigrist with the Mason-Dixon Orchestra in 1929.
Thank you.
would like to read a couple of paragraphs from the liners from this mosaic set written by Dick Sodhalter. And he says, Andy Sechrist provides at least a functional simulation of the Beiderbecke cornet style in arrangements drawn increasingly from the Whiteman Band library. And it's about Trombauer, he says, Trombauer who provides the focus and center of gravity, perhaps Beiderbecke's absence yet presence, being there in spirit while physically absent, strengthens Tram, recasts him, and propels his work to a generally more emphatic level. So, indeed, Tram is really in fine shape here, and Sechrist, I guess one should not compare him with Bix. Nobody can be compared with Bix. So he does a reasonably good job and of emulating what Bix was doing. He's not imitating him, I guess. At least that's what he says. Well, I'd like to continue now with a couple of recordings by Eddie Lang and his orchestra that include Andy Sechrist. These are Walking the Dog and March of the Hoodlums, recorded on October 5th, 1929. March of the Hoodlums is Carmichael's composition. The composition of the band, of the Eddie Lang and his orchestra band for these two recordings, is Eddie Lang on guitars, Andy Sechrist and Charles Margulis on trumpet, Bill Rank on trombone, Bernard Daly, Charlie Strickfaden on alto sax, Easy Friedman on clarinet or tenor sax, Henry Whiteman on violin, Hoagy Carmichael on piano, Mike Trafficante on string bass, and George Marsh on drums. So let's listen then to Andy Sechrist with the Eddie Lang Orchestra in 1929. That was a very nice solo by Bill Rank, wasn't it? Okay, now I'd like to get in a couple of recordings by Paul Wyman and his orchestra. These are from October of 1929, after Bix had left the Paul Wyman Orchestra. His last recording was Waiting at the End of the Road, and he collapsed after that and went back to Davenport. So now for an Andy Sigrist and the Paul Wyman recording, first I'll have If I Had a Talking Picture of You from October 16, 1929, with a great solo by the incomparable Bing Crosby. And following that, from a couple of days later, October 18, 1929, a great version by Paul Wyman and his orchestra of After You've Gone, with another vocal by the great Bing Crosby. And Andy Sigrist is present in both of those recordings, and the other musicians are the usual suspects in the Paul Wyman Orchestra. So let's then listen to Andy Sigrist with Bing Crosby and Paul Wyman in 1929.
If I had a talking picture of you, I would run it every time I felt blue. I would sit there in the gloom of my lonely little room and applaud each time you whispered, I love you, on the screen the moment you came in view. We would talk the whole thing over, we two. I would give 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee if I had a talking picture of you.
There'll come a time when you'll regret it someday. When
when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you'll want me only after you've gone away.
There are some good solos by Andy Secrest in those two recordings. In particular, the solo in After You've Gone is quite good. And of course, we have that inimitable duo, that pair of geniuses, Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti, doing their great stuff in both of those recordings. Now I would like to get in a couple of recordings by Frank Trombauer and his orchestra from 1930, featuring Andy Secrest. First, from July 22nd, 1930, the Isham Jones composition, What's the Use? And the composition of the orchestra here is Andy Secrest on cornet, Nat Natoli on trumpet, Bill Rank on trombone, Frank Trombauer on C melody or vocal, and Chet Hazlett or Charles Strickfaden on reeds, Fudd Livingston on clarinet, Matty Malnek on violin, Roy Barge on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, Min Liebruck on bass saxophone, George Marsh on drums, and Jack Fulton on vocal. I will follow that with a recording from September 8, 1930, Bye Bye Blues, with a vocal by Scrappy Lambert, and the composition of the orchestra is basically the same, except that now we have Fudd Livingston on the clarinet, and he's also the arranger, and perhaps the drums may be either George Marsh or Stan King. Let me read to you what Dick Sondhalter writes in the liners for this mosaic set from which I took those two recordings. Trombauer's solo chorus on the Isham Jones tune What's the Use finds him in almost aggressively rhythmic form, departing from the dreamy, restrained persona of his association with Weiderbeck. And then about Bye Bye Blues, he says, this is a keeper. A genuine surprise. Fudd Livingston's arrangement splits the six horns into two groups of three, establishing a colorful counterline to a strong melody exposition. Andy Secrest, momentarily shedding some of his lealty to Bix, brings an almost Armstrong-like pungency to his solo. So let's listen then to Andy Secrest with Frank Trombauer in 1930. Thank you.
pretend all the while, but since you went away, what's the use? I try to clown just to hide every frown, but my heart seems to say, what's the use? I build each dream that I dream just for you. How can they ever come true? I need you more now than ever before, but you've closed heaven's door, so what's the use?
With those two nice recordings, we come to an end of the segment on Andy Sechrist. Now, for the modern musicians, I will turn to the Antigua Jazz Band. This is a group of Argentinian musicians from an RCA LP. It's AVSP 4263. And these are pretty talented guys. And these recordings in this LP are from the 1970s. I like to play Bill Street Blues. This was recorded on March 12, 1974, with Rolando Vismara on cornet, Luis Constantini on trumpet, Carlos Hugo Borgna on trombone, Carlos Carati on alto sax, Arturo Fernandez on alto sax also, Martin Perala on tenor sax, Horacio Cuello on baritone sax, Osvaldo Ferrer on clarinet, Ricardo Manella on piano, Alfredo Carosi on banjo, Osvaldo Ricci on tuba, and Roberto Tulet, that is, on drums. So let's listen then to the Antigua Jazz Band from Argentina in 1974. These Argentinian musicians capture the spirit of the jazz from the 1920s. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Thank you. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for another edition of the program. Until then, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.